You're listening to I Watched That with Fran and Kyle. On today's show, we'll be talking about HBO's hit show Succession and an FX favorite, Sons of Anarchy. Let's start with Succession. Kyle, why don't you get us going?
Thank you, Fran. Succession is one of the best shows I've ever watched in my life, Fran. Mm-hmm. It's because it is a drama for sure, but it's more like a comedy drama, really. And it's basically just about this family who's very rich, and it's run by the father. What was his name? Oh, Logan Roy. And it seems like he's basically just part of this giant conglomerate, it has its foot in basically every sort of like a media, kind of like that thing. And it's just an amazing show. I watched it actually at school for the first time. And I'm really glad I got into it. I binged it in a week or so while we were in lockdown. And it was fantastic. Cause also it was the show, it was fully two seasons, so I didn't have to wait for anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite, it's an amazing show. I would go into maybe my least favorite and my favorite characters. I would say my favorite characters are for sure, Kendall is amazing. I want to protect him at all costs, Fran. He's basically I don't know how you call it, like the problem child, it seems like, in the family. Because at the start of the show, he's trying to get into the big position, you know, of the company.
Yeah.
But people kind of mentioned things in passing that it seems like he had problems with addiction in the past. Mm-hmm. And he has a family, but it seems like he's separated with his wife or divorced. So he's not having the greatest time personally. So it's like he's trying to make his life better professionally. And also by how do you call it? He's trying to make up for it and kind of show to his family, but above all his father, that he can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's basically what all of them are trying to do. Because it's not just him, it's Kendall, Shiv, and Roman. Uh-huh. But those are the three main children, and they're always just trying to suck up to their father.
Yeah, and then you have Andrew, Charlie, the one on the farm.
Oh, isn't it Connor or something?
Connor.
Yeah, he's kind of just there, honestly. He's kind of just because he's also much older, so he has no interest in the company whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to admit, he's probably my least favorite. I don't hate him, but I think he's just kind of okay. The other children are much more entertaining, but mm-hmm. I love Kendall the most. Shiv and Roman, I love them, even though they're just not the greatest people.
Yeah.
They're always mean to Kendall. And oh, my least favorite for sure, I think everyone's is definitely Logan, the father. Thank you, Fred. He is terrible.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he's never said I love you to any of them. Absolutely sure of it.
Of course.
I bet he hasn't even thought of saying it, or he's even just thought of it. I don't know what's with him. He's just so focused on his professional life more than his family life. And I think he really just doesn't care about that. Also, he lies a lot, you know? And I think that really carried over to the children, where they don't really have, they're not comfortable with being vulnerable or talking about how they feel. So then they just kind of either insult insult other people. They don't feel good about themselves. So they take it on other people. And that's literally, it's because of their father. That's what their father does, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess those are my favorite for sure is Kendall. Least favorite, clearly, Logan. And then I'll probably just get into my favorite storylines. I guess basically just all of season two I really liked. There is a certain part at the end of season one, though, with Kendall, where he was basically gonna kind of go behind his father's back and like get the company, right? Mm-hmm. But then he completely messes up in like the very last episode because he like gets in. Oh, he was getting, now I just remembered. He was getting like a drug. So he's kind of falling back into his addiction. And I think he was at some sort of, he was at this like big grand party with his family. And then he goes off with this guy and they're like getting something. And then they get into a car crash and then it like goes over the river. He's like in the car, they're drowning, and he's able to get out, but he can't get the driver out, so he leaves him to die. And then he walks back to, like, this is crazy, friend, I'm just remembering. And he walks back to the house battered and bleeding, and then he like goes into a bathroom without anyone noticing, cleans himself up, and goes back like nothing happened. It's crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. I remember watching it. Oh my God. But then he finally, his father finds out that what happened, and he hides the fact from the public that it was his son's fault, you know? Mm-hmm. And they just make it seem like the waiter, that Kendall was with just had some problems or something. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing, that was like, that family is probably one of my most favorite, but some of my favorite episode, I think my season two is, but season one's, that finale is amazing for sure. And getting back into my favorite season would be definitely season two, because it has my favorite storyline. We can go back to that, where at the very end of season two, he finally stands up to his father, and it's just, it's amazing. It's so satisfying.
Yes.
It's amazing. And then even like the last shot, it's like his father kind of like maybe admiring him, or like finally being like, oh, what a guy, and I was finally doing something.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's weird, Fred, isn't it?
Because he's because like
because he completely messes him over, Kendall. He messes his father over, really. He like leaks, he basically tells what's like actually happening. They were trying to hide stuff of what the company was doing, like not good stuff. And I was just like, wow, amazing. That was, I just cannot wait for season three, Fred. And then what kept me from like continuing to watch the show is, I feel like it was, for sure, the dialogue is really unique in the show, because I even saw actually a video essay about this show, and it was interesting. And it was basically talking about how I mentioned earlier, how Logan speaks in a way that's almost like, he almost speaks like a politician, where like he like when a politician, you know what sometimes, do you know what I'm talking about, like a politician answers a question, but they don't really answer. They kind of dance around their way around it and kind of lie a bit.
Oh yeah, every politician.
Yeah. And that's what the video essay was saying, was that like most of the characters in the show speak like that, because they're doing the exact same thing politicians do, which is just getting power.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, it's so good. Because it's true. That's exactly what they're doing in the show. And it's interesting, because you would think you would hate most of the characters because they're kind of despicable, right?
Exactly.
But you kind of like enjoy the craziness.
Yes.
And especially in season two, they make him definitely more human. Not really Logan. He's kind of terrible at all, like every way. Maybe they can try to make him more human later, but like you don't really know why he's like that. He's just like that. Mm-hmm. He's just that type of person. But also you would think, oh, he's that type of person. He's a leader of this giant company. It's not surprising that he's like that either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what's been watching the show is definitely the dialogue. The writing is amazing. The acting is outstanding. Brian Cox, who plays Logan Roy, is just, he's fantastic. He is despicable, terrible, just, I can't even, he's just indescribable sometimes of what he says to, there's even some parts where he like straight up hits his children. Like there's this one part where he slaps his son Roman, and I was just like, whoa. Because he's Roman's a full adult and he just got slapped by his father. And I was just like, that's crazy. It's the like the toxic relationship between the father, like Logan and the siblings is amazing to behold. Like, I don't think like it's even in real life how terrible this can be. Like, oh my God. But I think that's it, is that it's interesting watching the relationships, kind of unearthing them and seeing them for what they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, there's this one character I didn't even talk about, who's not part of the family, really, but he's like, he's Shiv's husband, Tom.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I just remembered him. I get, he's also one of my favorites, but also the worst because he's kind of terrible. He like manipulates Greg, who I think is the cousin of, yeah, it's the cousin. I think it's Logan's brother's child.
Yeah.
Remember. Yeah, it is. So he doesn't have the...
Logan's brother's grandson.
Yeah. Does he have the same name as them, Roy? He should, right?
Probably, because he did work for them anyways, but then he got... No, did he work for them? No, he went to them to find a job. I think he does have...
Oh, wait a second. Oh, no. I think it's Logan's... Is it Logan's brother?
Yeah, Shit. Logan's brother's Logan? Grandson.
Yeah, it was grandson, sorry. Not son. Yeah, it was his grandson.
So he may have a different last name because...
Yeah, he does. He does. I just remembered. His mother was the one that was connected to the family, not his father. So yeah, he's a cousin, like the first cousin, I think, right? Is it first cousin? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the first cousin of like the Shiv. But yeah, specifically Shiv and... Yeah, I know all of them because they're all related to the Roys. I mean, to like Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's their relationship is amazing. It's so manipulative. It's so much fun to watch. My favorite scene is when there's like a shooter possibly in the company building and it's in lockdown, which is just like what happened to us when I was watching the show. And they get into like this room, but they get into like the lesser room, like the lesser panic room.
Yes.
And they're just like and then he just starts fighting with Tom and he's just throwing water bottles at him. And it's just like, now this is quality television, right? But yeah, I guess that's, yeah, I would say, what Kevin watching is like, it gets better as it goes on, which isn't for every show.
Mm-hmm.
The acting's amazing. The writing's fantastic. It's also very timely. I feel like it's very good nowadays because it does relate to that type of just toxic, like how capitalism and all that stuff is just terrible.
Yeah.
And yeah, like above all, and how like if you go in too much, if you really focus onto your professional life, it's not gonna do well. Your personal life is just not gonna be good usually.
Mm.
It really is one or the other. I notice it's hard to balance it. But yeah, it's just like a really, it's just such a good show. It's just about power, politics, greed. It's just amazing. And it sweeped the Emmys this year. It finally won Outstanding Drama, which I was so happy about. And my boy, Kendall, finally won. Jeremy Strong finally won. Oddly enough, Brian Cox didn't win, which he usually does, but Kendall won, which I was just so happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just basically won like drama, writing, directing awards. But yeah, I was so happy that it won because it really deserved to win. It's such a fantastic show, Fran. And I'm so glad that we both watched it. Thank you to Steve Lucas, by the way.
Yes, shout out to Steven Lucas, our writing teacher.
He, I think it was like right before the pandemic hit. So he just kind of just like, he gave it this at the perfect time. Funny enough, I did get recommended it to my friend like months ago, but I just didn't get like the handle to do it and I didn't have the time to do it. So then when we watched it in class, even with my friend was also there along with Fran. And I was like, this was fantastic. I have to finish the show right now. So then I just watched it in a week during lockdown and it was just fantastic, Fran. And I'm so glad I did that. Like, honestly, might watch it again.
why not? 2 seasons, what, 10 episodes? You can do it.
Yeah, it's easy peasy. Also, like, I think they're filming season 3 soon. So hopefully we get it next year, because we don't need no theaters to watch it in.
Exactly. They just have to take the best protocols ever and not have an outbreak on set.
Yeah, like some other movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some movies. I think, Jurassic World got a few cases. And then the Batman movie got just one case, though. The Batman got COVID, so.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all good now. It's fine. But yeah, I really hope we get to see it soon, because I just kind of not wait to see what happens next. I'm just so excited. Also, you can see it on Crave. That's where I watched it.
Little promo right there on
Crave. Little promo. Crave's great. If you want to see an HBO show, they have all of them on there.
Yes, they do.
Old shows, new shows, like, they're all there, and, like, they're usually updated completely. Yeah. Also, you can watch them weekly if you want to.
Yes.
Like, I'm watching... what's this show called? We Are Who We Are on HBO. It's mm-hmm. updated weekly, and like you can just watch it as it goes. It's fantastic. Yeah. But that's my part, Fran. Let's go to you, Fran.
Well, thank you, Kyle, for briefing us on Succession and giving us your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about a show that's a little bit older. Came out in 2008, Sons of Anarchy. Ended in 2014. So it's been over for quite some time now.
So
Sons of Anarchy is basically about this biker gang and their chain in charming California. So it follows Jax Teller, Gemma Teller, Clay Morrow. It's about all these different people, and it's like about this brotherhood, and almost like Succession, where it's just they have this loyalty to the club, obviously. It's a gang. And then, yeah, like in Succession, they have this loyalty to their brand and their father and the company. Yeah. So, it mainly follows Jax Teller, who finds this manifesto written by his father who passed away. And it's basically like saying how his father never really wanted Sam Crowe, Sons of Anarchy, to get to this point of doing like illegal things. Like, he didn't want them to deal weapons, he didn't want them to deal drugs or anything. But then in the coming seasons, that's exactly what happens. They go away from just weapons and they go into drugs, which is not what they're really into doing.
So so
it's about Jax and him trying to get the hell out of Sam Crowe, which is hard because he was basically born into this dynasty. His father was like the head, right? Then his father died. And then now his stepfather's the head. So it's kind of like, it's his destiny.
Yeah.
So I'll get into some of my favorite, least favorite characters. Obviously, Jax Teller's one of my favorite characters because he's so, not just because he's good looking, but
how are you going to say that, Brad?
But because he's a complex character, you see this guy, he's kind of just got this in his DNA to be a gang member, but he just wants so much more. He wants to start a family. He wants to get out of Sam Crowe. He wants to have a safe, normal life that he didn't have because he was just thrown into this. And then he reconnects with like his love, the love of his life, who left when they were like, I don't know, 19 or something. And they finally, they hit it off again. They freaking start a family and get married. So now he really, then he really wants to get out because he's got these kids. And then, oh my God, his son gets kidnapped in the first season to Ireland. It's awful because they're like, they deal with the IRA in Ireland. So it's just this whole big thing. So then he's really like, nah, I got to get out of here. My kid just got kidnapped fresh.
Oh my God.
Fresh out of the womb. I kid you not. This kid was not even 3 months old, I think. And he got kidnapped. And that was with his first wife. We won't get into her. I mean, she does come back as a better, more prominent character, but she wasn't really much in the first season. But even though I say all that about Jax, my absolute favorite character is Chibs. Chibs is the best. Philip Chibs Telford. He's Scottish. He's so funny. And out of all of the characters, he is the only normal and well-rounded guy. He is the only one who's like a good person throughout everything. He doesn't let his emotions take over and start acting out. He doesn't really believe in this whole revenge thing, only with his wife and his daughter, because quick weird little backstory on that. Yeah. His brother, who was head of the IRA, Jimmy O, yeah. I think, Jimmy O. I don't know what happened, but I think, I can't remember, Chibs was sent away, and then Jimmy O was just like, well, I'm taking your wife and your daughter, they're mine now, basically.
Oh my god, this is very drastic.
Yeah, so he couldn't have any contact with his wife or his daughter, but then he finally mm-hmm. did, and it was this beautiful reunion, and he got to kill Jimmy O, like, it was a beautiful thing when that happened.
Wow.
And it was just fantastic, so... So I'm sorry, Jax. I said I spoke you up a lot, but my favorite character is Chibs, hands down. I'm naming my dog after Chibs. Like, I'm just, I love him so much.
That's so cute.
Cute name. My least favorite, which is sad because I liked him, was Clay Morrow, played by Ron Perlman. Clay Morrow.
Oh, okay.
Hellboy, for those of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Guillermo ones. So Clay Morrow,
I think it's Guillermo or whatever.
No, Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I don't think you're saying Guilly. I don't think it's pronounced like that.
But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
So Clay Morrow, I mean, you started off, you know, he's not the best guy, but you're like, okay, he's not that bad. But then you just realize that he wants, like Logan, he just wants all this power and all of this control. So he basically has been killing people since time to cover up his tracks. That's basically what you end up finding out.
What a guy.
So he killed Jax's father so he could get control of Sam Crow and he could be the head, because Jax's father, like I said, did not want any illegal stuff going on. But then Clay was like, but if we do illegal stuff, we get a lot of money.
Does anyone know that?
Not yet. It really takes a long time. Like maybe the last two seasons or three seasons.
Oh, wow.
So there are seven seasons and it just gets really bad because then Jax, because like I said, Clay lies a lot. And then his wife, Gemma, who is Jax's mom, lies a lot to protect her ass and her and to protect Clay. And then also not to hurt her son. So they both have this big thing, which is, oh, we basically killed your father, but we're going to blame it on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gemma becomes my least favorite character because she kills Jax's wife.
Oh, wow.
Which sends him into this awful tailspin because that was the love of his life and they were finally getting out Kyle. They were going to get out of Sam Crow. And then she just thought that the wife was going to the feds about something, but it wasn't true. I mean, it was true to an extent, but because her and Jax made an agreement so they could work it out so Sam Crow wouldn't get like punished with jail or anything, and so everything would stay okay. Mother didn't know that. She heard what she wanted to hear and freaking stabbed the poor girl in the head with a freaking fork or something, killed her.
Oh my god.
So
that's very shocking.
When Jax kills her, I was very happy. Very, very euphoric. I was like, ah, yes.
Very satisfying.
Yes. So those are my two favorite characters, or my two least favorite, Clay and Gemma. My absolute favorite, Chibs. Kind of favorite, Jax. So my favorite storylines are like character arcs.
Yeah.
I like. So there's this guy, Tig, and he's very interesting. He's really weird. There are hints about him being, I think it's like a necrophiliac, where they like to do some stuff with dead bodies.
Yes. Wow. Okay, yeah. Then.
So it's really weird, but he's also this really sensitive, deep, emotional guy. So it's like seeing him start off as this kind of, okay, I don't want to call him a freak, but this weird guy who thinks first, or no, acts first, thinks later.
Oh, I see.
Very like vengeful, does that stuff with dead bodies, but then you see him evolve into this well-rounded, emotionally sensitive kind of a guy, and just a storyline for the whole series itself, there's no real toxic masculinity. This is a brotherhood. They all love each other. They tell each other, I love you, brother. They kiss them on the head. These are gang.
Oh my god, that's so cute, Fran.
These are gang members, man. And then you see guys who who are regular Joes walking around. I can't say that to my friends. That's gay. Are you kidding me? These bikers could crush you with their hands. And they're like hugging each other, kissing each other. I love you. I love you, brother. And my favorite part about Tig's evolution is he dates a trans woman.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Like, as soon as they like meet, you see that he's like, he's hella, like, he's so into her. And she just can't understand it, because I'm guessing she was treated badly with by her family and other relationships. But him just assuring her that he loves her and he wants to be with her, it's like, oh, so beautiful.
Well, that is so beautiful, friend.
I know. I'm like, I'm watching this show about these like murderous bikers crying, like, oh my god, it's so cute. Look at all of this.
But like,
stuff.
They're so sweet to each other, and they're inclusive.
It's inclusive. I mean, yeah, okay, they're all white actors, except for like maybe two or three or four or something. And they do paint a lot of women as villains, I noticed. Like, it's easier for some reason.
Oh.
And we can all be honest to it. For some reason, it's easier for people to paint women as villains because they're easier to hate than men. You give men the benefit of the doubt, I feel, or I find with male characters. But with female ones, it's kind of just like, ah, no, she's a villain. She's a B word, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is that. I think there is that trend in shows, too.
Yeah, so, but, okay, that's my storyline with Tig. My favorite season, I would have to, it's really a toss-up between season one and then season seven, the last one.
Really? I know, that always happens to me, too, I feel.
Like, season one was so good because they get you with the characters and, like, what's going on, and you're learning about everything.
They hooked you in, Fran.
Yeah, of course. They hook you in right away. Then the last one is when you see everything happen, and spoiler alert, which I don't care, it ended 6 years ago, so whatever. I'm going to spoil the crap out of it.
Yeah.
When Jax dies.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, his children lost him and his mom. Like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Fran. It's okay.
It's so sad. These poor kids lose their dad, then lose their mom first, then they lose their dad.
Oh my god.
The first kid's mom is still in the picture, so she kind of takes over. So it's fine.
Oh.
But when Jax dies, it's so beautiful and peaceful because he's first of all, he's being chased by like a swarm of police.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you just see him riding, and he picked the road. He knew it was going to happen. He picked the road where his father's motorcycle kind of malfunctioned.
Yeah.
So he died on the same road as his father. He just drove right into a Mack truck.
Oh, wow. That's poetic.
Yeah. You just see the guy driving, and he's like, oh my god. And then you just hear the crash, and then you don't see him get hit, but just a pool of blood start to like,
oh my god,
on the side of the road. And then you see a black crow, which is significant. It's a symbolism of some sort, because it's in the first episode and then in a few other pretty important scenes throughout the series.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think season seven was nice in that sense, where everyone got their justice. Clay's dead, Gemma's dead, kind of all the people that you wanted to die are dead. Then they're the people who didn't deserve to die, because Jax went on this vengeance of a killing spree, which was Gemma's fault because she blamed one gang for Jax's wife's death. Meanwhile, it was her who killed her. But she didn't want her son to know, obviously. So,
oh my god, that's terrible.
So he had to die because he had brought, it's called Meet Mayhem, which is basically where you meet death. So because he unleashed this war that was based off of nothing but pure revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, if it had substance, if they had killed his wife, it probably wouldn't have gone down as bad. But then he lied that someone provoked him, and that's why he killed him. But he didn't provoke him. So it was just awful. He had to die, and it was just really sad. But that's my favorite season. What kept me watching was basically, like I said, and like you said, it's the characters. It's the,
yeah, because that's what matters. Really, yeah,
exactly.
When you're watching a show.
It's the characters, and because of this pandemic, this was like escapism at its finest. I was like, ooh, I want to go be a biker for the day. I'm gonna go binge watch this show until my eyes are dry or something. And yeah, that was pretty much it was storylines, it was the characters, it was the actors, it was the it was everything about it. It was just a really good show that kept you interested. And people did say that they weren't happy with the last few seasons because they got like I guess there was too much death that wasn't necessary. But I didn't care. I was like, okay, I still like it. It's pretty good. Pretty good.
And it's all to watch on Netflix.
Yes. Sons of Anarchy is all of it. Seasons 1 to 7 are on Netflix. I think you can find it on like FX On Demand, which you can tune into with your service provider or sign up for.
Yeah.
So that was that's over. So I kind of just summed up a lot of the show, but I have nothing. No, I have no Emmy win, any recent Emmy wins to talk about. But they do have this show called Mayan MC, which is a spinoff of Sons of Anarchy, because Sons of Anarchy dealt with the Mayans, which is like a Mexican gang.
Yeah.
So Mayan MC started 2018. We're 2 seasons in. Third season's underway at some point.
Just like Succession. That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. It follows this guy, Ezekiel, who's the new prospect of this gang, and it's just him with his family and then getting into this gang and how he's kind of personally connected to this other gang with this girl he was in love with. It's really, again, very messy, but same writer, Kirk Sutherland, right? He wrote Sons of Anarchy.
Were any of the characters in this show from Sons of Anarchy?
Yes. When you see the Mayans, you have the same head guy, Alvarez. He's in it, so that's nice. To see a familiar face. Then there is one episode where I think they do work with Sons of Anarchy, so you get to see Chibs, because Chibs is the new head of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, so it's set after the show ends, though, right?
I think, okay, it's either 3 or 8 years later.
It's just set after, but you're not really sure exactly when.
Yeah, they do have flashbacks, though, and how, like, some of Ezekiel's past intertwined with some people from Sons of Anarchy, but like years, obviously, was set years later.
I see.
Or before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it for me and my love for Sons of Anarchy, which is kind of weird because the violence was very soothing. But I don't know what that means about my mental state, but whatever. So yeah.
There was chaos just surrounding us, and you need to watch some fake chaos, Red.
Yeah. So I know, okay, at least that one's fake.
Yeah. So did you watch all of it?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
That's amazing. How long did it take you to watch it, Fred?
3 weeks, maybe.
Like that's solid.
Like pumping out 7 episodes or something a day. Solid 13 episodes a season. Not bad at all. So I think that's it for us. You did Succession. I did Sons of Anarchy. What's coming up next week, Kyle?
Well, next week we're going to talk about one show that are currently watching, Schitt's Creek. It sweeped the Emmys, Fran. It obliterated them. It had a record, actually, for a comedy. It had the most wins ever in a night. It had 7 wins, Fran. 4 major wins in acting categories. Outstanding comedy, and then outstanding directing and writing by the star,
Daniel Levy,
who plays David, who is my favorite. And I think yours too, Fred.
Of course.
I just love him. And it just sweeped the Emmys. It was amazing. I've never seen this show before I watched the Emmys. And then I was like, the show must be good. And it won everything.
Yeah.
So I just, like, all of it's on Netflix, so me and Fran are just, like, watching it. So as soon as we finish it, we're gonna talk about it, Fran.
Yes,
we're going to talk about Alexis. We're going to talk about Moira's weird, I don't know what type of accident it is.
Unidentifiable accent.
I think it's just her accent. I think it's just the way she talks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's just amazing. Yeah, I can't wait for it. I honestly can't wait. It's an amazing Canadian show, by the way. Canadian. So I love that. That's fantastic. Thanks for listening to the first episode of I Watched That with Fred and Kyle. Tune into next week's episode for our discussion of the Canadian show that took the 2020 Emmys by storm, Schitt's Creek. See you later. Bye, guys.
See you guys.